Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We are about to have a conversation with Azim Turan. Azim Turan is a Turkish citizen who lives in Istanbul, who's been to the rally several times. He's majored in international politics and been analyzing the rally and its root causes. Just is in Germany for whatever reason. He has to be there. And joining us from his hotel room in Germany. And Azim Turan, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
And I thank our mutual friend Steve Elliott for introducing us to one another.
Yes. Thank God. it was also an occasion to reconnect with him as well, because it was a long time I haven't spoken to him.
He's a good man. So let's talk about one of the things I want to understand from your perspective, what set this off. There's been a lot of writing in the American press about the kind of environmental nature of this in the very beginning, that that kind of pushed this off. They were talking about a man whose name was Burkan İsin, a 40-year-old lawyer who was one of the leaders of this in the beginning, who's kind of an environmentalist, for want of a better term, the way they described him. So talk to me about the role that people like that played and what actually spurred this on in Istanbul.
Yeah, I will try to answer to the best of my knowledge. Well, the whole thing started with the tearing down of a park in the Taksim Square area, which is in the heart of downtown Istanbul. And that area is not more than like 6 square blocks big. And the government decided to put a shopping mall and possibly also a mosque over there. That is supposed to face an ancient church because of Istanbul's historical nature. There's also an ancient church. So this is supposed to symbolize, this was supposed to symbolize Istanbul's multicultural, multi-religious character. When it came to tearing uprooting a couple of trees over there, some people came over and decided to protest against this. It was also kind of an accumulation of the previous teardowns all across Istanbul, because right now in Istanbul there's a rebuilding going on under the slogan Urban Transition Project. So within the frame of this Urban Transition Project, this was also a part of it. And so this group decided to protest against this tearing down of the area, and specifically against the uprooting of these trees, because that area was considered a beautiful green area where Istanbulians went and just had to relieve their recreational needs.
No, why, Azim, why were you part of it? Why did you participate in these protests?
Well, good question. The whole thing turned out to be not about the uprooting of the trees, but it turned into a release of pent-up emotions, so to say. While I was there, I had also some issues. I was, watching in the news and following in the media the jailed journalists jailed on false pretense, on planted evidence in their computers, and the growing culture of self-censorship in the media, which already disturbed me over the last couple of years. I speak English and I speak German. I can follow Turkey-related news in foreign media, and I see that some things are being filtered, not being broadcasted at all. Specifically, also things that might be considered against the government. Also, an important factor that brought me to that square has also been the imposition of the conservative morality on the individuals. So, as you might know, in Turkey there is right now a ruling party that came to power with, 48% of the votes. But it does not represent the rest of the Turkey. Since this is an Islamic party, mostly Islamic inclining people have voted for this party. Now, the rest is not much religious, I would say. Pretty much like in the United States, mm-hmm. 50% is liberal, 50% is conservative. So the problem in Turkey is the conservatives are under one umbrella now, but the liberals are scattered. They are not being represented. I'm one of them. So since I was frustrated, I went to the square and just wanted to be a part of it.
So is that's really interesting. I think that, I mean, that comes down to the brass tacks and root of a Turkish society, which is probably not too dissimilar from many other societies on the planet, where there is this divide between a more secular view of the world and a more fundamentalist religious view of the world. Do you think that's at the heart of this conflict, or do you think, because we've also read that there were women in headscarves and as well in these demonstrations who were protesting the park, is it more complex than that?
In my opinion, they are a minority. It is correct that women with headscarves or conservative people were also among them, but they are mostly opposing some other deeds of the current government. God knows. I mean, jailed journalists, for example, or some other issues they might oppose.
So, what about the issue of freedom of the press and press in Turkey? Because we see Turkey as a democracy. There are issues here with our own government, beginning to muzzle some of the press and kind of threatening the press over leaks. But what's the situation in Turkey when it comes to the press?
When it comes to the press, well, 10 years ago, when I came back to Turkey from the U.S., I actually came back to freedom. Back in the 70s, I experienced the same kind of situation as it was these days. Then my career led me to Europe and then to the United States. But I was observing Turkey. I wished that Turkey would be like one of these free countries in the Western world. And Turkey became like one of them. You could easily write to an editorial, to a newspaper if you were opposing something, or you could freely express your opinion in the public and everything. But now this whole thing has changed. Specifically when we talk about media, for example, I don't know if you're familiar with that picture that has been taken by
yes.
an individual in Istanbul while these unrests were going on. CNN International was covering it live, and well, this individual has two television sets at home, so he took a picture. At that snapshot, you see on the left CNN International covering it live. On the right, you see CNN Turk, which is affiliated directly to CNN Atlanta, and they are showing a documentary on penguins.
Right, I saw that. That was pretty stunning. So, I mean, is that because the media is state controlled? Is it because the media is afraid to print? Well, because of oppression?
Rather the latter. Mm-hmm. They are afraid to print because, Mark, when they would broadcast, of course, at that moment, the decision maker at CNN Turk didn't know the size of this whole event. He thought it would fizzle out within a couple of hours. He said, okay, let's just wait and, you know, play it by the ear. And whereas CNN International, of course, you saw the importance of it and covered it live. So if CNN Turk would, they were afraid of, it's a private broadcaster at the end of the day, mm-hmm. being run by a Turkish media, private media owner. And I don't know, God knows what kind of connections, what kind of interest there might be in play, and that might be jeopardized. So it's a momentary decision thing. God knows which has played the role there, be it a manager or director or the owner. That I cannot tell you.
So,
but the fear factor is the important key word here.
So, Azim, we have about 2 minutes left in this segment, and I'm curious as to where you think these protests will lead. Will it lead to a coalescing of a new movement, a new party? Will it just this kind of eruption? I mean, what do you think it portends for the future?
The prime minister came last night, and in the social media, I'm seeing that that people who are protesting are organizing themselves for a new protest tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if I'm not wrong, 9 o'clock. So, where the whole thing would go? When he came, he gave a press conference where he said he's not going to budge. In a nutshell, he said I'm not going to budge. The whole thing will proceed. Of course, the protesters were kind of disappointed because they hoped that he would put a step back. They were ready to put a step back, you know, to find a solution. So right now, I think it caused another rage. among them, and the whole thing is going, looks like it's going into an, I wouldn't say eruption, but escalation. There's right now a massive public outrage that is gonna that is not dwindling. But in my opinion, the nature, the DNA of the ruling party right now, it doesn't allow to budge to these kind of protests. It's the nature of it, in my opinion.
So what
the trajectory will be? It is a unique situation. I haven't seen a precedent before. I cannot tell you. But fact of the matter is, as I told in the beginning, the rest 50% that are not being represented right now, they are enraged. They do not want to give up their freedoms. They do not want to be imposed all these rules, such as in the Turkish metro stations, for example, where they say, well, behave and do not disturb others with your behaviors. What they mean is, between the lines, do not kiss in public and show affection in public and these kind of things. So the liberal Turks are pretty much feel cornered. Their liberties are being one by one cut off, and they see that down the road the trajectory is going to rather a country that resembles Iran or maybe North Korea. God knows what else it could result to. I hope I answered your question.
You did very well. And Azim Turan, who is a Turkish citizen, lives in Istanbul, has taken part in the rallies. He majored in international politics and has been analyzing the rally and its root causes. And Azim, thank you so much for your conversation. We look forward to talking to you again very soon. Stay safe, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we'll continue as time warrants to take a look at what's going on in Turkey and bring Azim back to join us to take a first-hand look at what's happening in the streets of Turkey, to give you a perspective you don't hear really anywhere else in our local media. Azim Turan, thank you so much. We're going to take a very brief break, and when we return, we'll be joined by Dominique de Leon, making an incredible movie that we'll talk about. Don't go away.